Steve, Zoe, thank you so much for swinging by.
Thanks for having us.
So before we jump into the music itself, I was reading you guys built a new studio over in Brooklyn to record this album in. Brooklyn is not notorious for having lots of space. Were there any real restrictions when it came to putting this all together?
Well, we're fortunate in that we live in one area in Brooklyn that does have space. It's called Ditmas Park and it's near Prospect Park. And there's big freestanding houses with, you know, wide streets and trees. I think it's part of the reason we've survived in New York for so long being Australian. So we have space, and my cousin owns one of these big houses and had a fallen down garage out the back, and we sort of, you know, devised a plan to turn it into a studio. So yeah, Steve and I spent a year or so building, and it's amazing. So yeah, we have a space to work in, which is pretty incredible.
That must have been so exciting to get in there and record for the first time as well.
Yes.
It was awesome. Yeah.
And I was talking to you earlier before we switched the mics on as well. The video for Sculpt has been out for a couple of days now. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. All this old-timey footage of, you know, people going about their lives eventually into this amazing shot of an eclipse. Where did the footage for that come from?
So the clip was made by a director called Katie Mitchell, who's a really good friend of ours who actually has been living in New York as well. Her and her partner, they're both amazing artists. So that's been really great for us to have, you know, fellow compatriots living in New York. But Katie's an amazing director. She does a lot of social justice documentaries. And she actually just recently won an Emmy in America.
Oh, wow.
For her first documentary she made over there. So she's a pretty talented cat. Anyway, she devised the clip for Sculptor. She did a rough cut that she showed us using archival footage she sourced from a few different archives in America, and it's just a stunning piece of work and such a beautiful interpretation of the song. So yeah, some of it's I think it's three different archives, but the eclipse and the sort of space footage at the end is actually from NASA. So it's deep space.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Really stunning.
So it's actually footage. It's not computer generated, because it almost looks computer generated, especially at the end.
Yeah, it's so amazing. The colours are so beautiful, and it's such detailed footage, but it's actually, yeah, it's the real stuff.
That's gorgeous. Mm. So for the album itself, you guys had some pretty notable guests on it as well. Jay Maskus, Aaron Dessner from The National, Jim White. What was it like working with everybody?
It was pretty cool. Like, everyone's got their own personality. Aaron, we've worked with before on Passerby. He co-produced that with us. So we're very old acquaintance, and creatively we're very well matched together. So that wasn't very difficult. But Jim White, sort of a newer friend. We met like playing a show together in Canada. It was weird, but like, I've been a fan of the Dirty Three since I was in university. And yeah, it was amazing to meet him, and he's a great guy and just wildly creative. So it was, you know, how do you create an environment for him to just flourish? That was the hardest thing for me, because we got him into our new studio and he came in, set up his drums, and yeah, there was a couple of goes and I realized that he wasn't fully letting go. And then I wound it back and said, like, I don't know what happened, but there was one take where he was just like, oh, I understand now. And he just played the most ridiculously awesome thing. And that was the end of that. So it didn't take a second with him, really. It was like three takes and we're done. And then Jay is another character again. We asked him to play on a song and he sent like 15 tracks of pure shred. You know what he's like? He's
oh, wow.
Just like, here's 15 tracks of shred, do what you want with it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we just, we had to listen to all the tracks.
Yeah, and, we're very good friends with Jay, because we've toured around America with him twice now. He asked us out on Passerby, our last record. He asked us to go out on the road with him, and we didn't know him then. But I'm an old Dinosaur Jr. fan from way back, so I was pretty happy to do that. And yeah, we really hit it off. So yeah, we've just been around the States with him again actually recently.
And that must have been pretty wild as well. I mean, he's a bit of an elusive character, I mm-hmm. feel, to people who don't know him very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He has his own style of communication, just as he has his own style of music. He's a very, very unique guy. I think some people find him a little intimidating to communicate with, because he can take his time answering questions and that kind of thing. But that's actually just his style, and he's the same with everyone. So,
And when he does answer, they're really good answers.
Yeah.
I've heard some interviews with him and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, like, it was such an awkward interview. But if you actually listen to what he's saying, and just forget that there's a bit of dead air, because there's a lot of anxiety in broadcasting around dead air, I'm sure. But like, you know, you forget that there's a bit of that. He answers really well. So yeah, no, he's a great guy and amazing musician. So we're pretty lucky to have those guys play on the record for sure.
Yeah.
And the first we did hear of Sculptor was Spring, which is a track that I really, really love.
Thank you.
It sounded to me, though, listening to the rest of the album, a little bit different. I found the feel of it to the rest of the album. Why did you choose Spring as the lead single?
I think because it sort of, I guess it feels like a burgeoning, and, you know, to open a record with a sense of that burgeoning and what's ahead made sense. And I think, you know, all the songs actually have a pretty unique space that they hold, and the production that we did on each individual track felt very distinct to each song. I mean, I think it's always that way, but I think this record, compared to our other two albums, there is probably a little more diversity in the way that we treated the songs. So, yeah, Spring was a lot of fun to put together because, you know, we just sort of had this melody and these chords, and then suddenly we, you know, Steve started layering up all these harmonies.
Yeah, and that was sort of the joy that I'm sure if, you know, I feel like there's a lot of joy in the early parts of that song, at least for me. And part of that was that we just finished the studio, and that was the first thing I recorded in there, and I just pretty much grabbed every instrument I could and just laid, and pretty much that's the first take of everything ever recorded in that studio. And a lot of the album's first takes, like, and just, you know, just trying to be a little bit more impressionistic maybe. So
not that we didn't go back and then re-record and try and do
but I mean, some of them were re-recording, but like a lot of the takes on that were actually first up. So Zoe had laid this part down, and it was just like, I threw a bass on it, I threw a piano, and then all of a sudden harmony's there, and then it was like, oh, I just loved it. So we ran with it.
And there are a lot of literary influences on this album as well. Speaking of Spring, and correct me if I say this wrong, because I only see it written down, I haven't heard it said out loud, Lady Ice?
I think it's Isse.
Isse.
Yeah.
Her poems Spring Days and Blossom, as well as the novel My Brother Jack by George Johnson, were two that I read about in particular.
Yep.
What is it about literary sources that you find so inspiring?
Well, I think that I really had wanted to write a song about spring, and the Japanese poets are very famous for writing about springtime and blossoms. So I had this beautiful old book of poetry by Japanese artists that my cousin gave me. I came across that poem and just absolutely loved it and thought, well, I can't say it better than that. So that became a song. And then the George Johnson novel, I was reading that when I was writing this record, and the paragraph that is the song Controversy, it just really jumped out of the page at me, and I had written it down in one of my notebooks, and then came across it, you know, a few months later, and just sort of tried putting music to it just for fun, really, and it came together in a way that I found I was just very it felt really interesting. So then we kind of started layering it up with this brilliant sort of synth stuff that Steve does. I think, you know, reading other authors and other poets, I'm quite a slow reader, but I really, really enjoy, you know, in sort of the way other people use words, the way they put them together, the impressions that they can create. And it's always so unique. So that's really fun as a writer.
And the big takeaway message of the album does seem to be you are in control of your own life, which is quite a powerful message. How important do you guys think that is, particularly in these days?
Yeah, I think often we don't really feel like we do have a lot of control, and I think that that's that can be a slippery slope in a way. And so having a sense of agency and a sense that perhaps not that you can control what happens in your life, but maybe the way that you respond to it, that's quite a liberating. It's intimidating as well, because it sort of gives you a bit more responsibility along with that agency. But I feel like that's a very important idea to have, because it can help you feel less afflicted and more like, like you do have a bit more say in where things can go. And, you know, I've been through some experiences of my own that really, I came to understand that in a pretty distinct way. And I'm very grateful for that. So that felt like a good sort of thing to explore in the course of these songs, and it just kind of comes out, you know.
I was thinking as well, is that a particularly important message? I mean, you guys are over in Brooklyn at the moment. Clearly I'm not living in the States, but it feels like the socio-political situation in the States at the moment does lack a bit of that control, watching from the outside in.
Yeah. I mean, I think what's going on there is obviously pretty extreme in some ways, but at the same time, there is a lot of repeated behaviour that we've seen throughout history in terms of people becoming very, extreme and sidelined and very sort of almost against each other in ways that perhaps don't necessarily really facilitate the general ideas that people are really trying to get across. And so we can become, you know, a bit torn in our ideas and angry at each other, or unable to kind of see things from different perspectives, that kind of thing. So I think, just that idea that not being a victim to situations, and also allowing some grey thoughts, you know, that it's not black and white. They're positive ideas, I think, in general, I hope.
Nice answers, though.
Cheers.
And you guys are playing Lead Belly on Friday night, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
So if people are going to pop down there and hang out, what can they expect to see?
Well, we're playing a bunch of songs from Sculptor, the album which just came out. And then we're doing a couple of the old stuff, but we've also just recently collaborated on some new work with a bunch of musicians at this weird festival called People in Berlin that Aaron Dessner, who we spoke about earlier, he's a big part of that, and he invited us over and we collaborated with him there. So we've got some new material that we're playing as well.
Ooh.
That might come on upcoming records, which is pretty exciting.
Sneak preview.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Steve, Zoe, thank you so much for swinging on by this morning.
Pleasure.
Thanks.